This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Frank Newport, editor-in-chief of the Gallup Organization. Gallup has been running polls on the generic ballot and other issues related to the midterm elections, and Frank is here now to show us what the final numbers look like as we await the final verdict, of course, today from the American people in all these key races around the country. And Frank, it's always great to have you with us.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
A lot of attention on one of your final polls here, the generic ballot based on a variety of different turnout projections, one of which suggests that Republicans may have a double-digit advantage on the generic ballot, which would be historically good for them. Why do the numbers seem to shift so much in their favor in the final days of this campaign?
Well, I should say the numbers didn't really shift in the final days. We've been seeing almost these exact same numbers since September. So it's been a fairly constant pattern. The real key is, in our opinion here at Gallup, the key between registered voters and likely voters. And that's important to understand. Registered voters are the numbers when you ask all Americans who are registered to vote, who will you vote for in your district? And when we find that out, we have about a 3 or 4 point lead for Republicans, which isn't a huge lead. We at Gallup try to isolate voters most likely to vote, likely voters, and when we do that, we see this remarkable shift towards the Republicans, anywhere from 10 to 16-point margin. We think the 15-point margin is about where it would be based on some turnout estimates, but nevertheless, in double digits, it's large. Bottom line there, what it suggests to us, at least through the weekend, was that there's a disproportionate likelihood that Republicans will show up in high numbers and Democrats won't, and that means that a lot of these competitive House districts will shift to the Republican side of the ledger.
So all this talk about an enthusiasm gap is very real from what you're seeing.
Oh, absolutely. We first noted that in March of this year, and we've been tracking it ever since. And as I mentioned, we've seen some ups and downs. For example, Democrats had a good September, did a little better. But since, generally speaking, the numbers have been fairly consistent that Republicans are motivated, looked like to us, they will be turning out. Democrats are less motivated and therefore less likely to turn out.
When you ask the question on the generic ballot, Frank, do you get the sense that most people think about the two parties in general, or do they generally answer that question based on their specific congressional race?
Well, there are 435 individual races, so it's a good question. Everybody has their own district and their own people running, or in a few instances, unopposed, but basically they're competitive races in a lot of these districts. It looks like to us this year that Republicans are thinking more nationally. In fact, that's what our data show. So when a Republican tells us who they're going to vote for in their local district, they're thinking, send a message nationally. So the personalities of the two people don't really matter. I'll give you an example. I live in a district with an incumbent Democrat. He's being challenged by a Republican this year, but it could be that a lot of Republicans in my district may say, I don't really care what the incumbent Democrat is doing nor what the Republican says he's going to do. I just want to send a message, so I'll vote for the Republican. Democrats, on the other hand, it looks like to us in the data, are a little more local in their orientation.
And you mentioned before that you separate, or at least try to separate, between registered voters and likely voters. How do you do that? I would imagine most people don't admit that they have no intention of voting, or maybe they do, I guess, but how do you filter that out?
Well, that's an excellent question, something we've been working on and tweaking for decades. So we first started doing it actually in the election in early 1950s. With midterm elections, we ask a series of 7 questions. So we don't just say, are you going to vote? But we ask a series of questions. Are you absolutely certain you're going to vote? How much thought have you given to the election? Do you know where people in your area vote? Did you vote last time, with adjustments for age so we don't penalize young people for not voting, and so forth? And when we put all that together, at least to this point, history has shown us it allows us to assign everybody a score about how likely they are to vote, which appears to be pretty accurate.
We're talking with Frank Newport of the Gallup Organization. And Frank, obviously the projections on the House and Senate side in these individual races look pretty good for Republicans. And historically, of course, the party out of power generally does better in the midterm elections. But if a lot of these estimates are even close to being accurate, how historic would this be for the GOP?
Well, you're right. There are a lot of structural factors working against Democrats at the get-go. It is a midterm, and presidents' parties usually lose. That would be the Democrats this year because the Democrats in the White House. Overall satisfaction with the way things are going is low, so people tend to take that out on the incumbent party. Overall, people are worried about the economy. People take that out on the incumbent party. That's the Democrats. Approval of Congress is low. People take that out on the Democrats. So all of those indicators tell us that it's going to be a bad year. And then we layer on top of it this enthusiasm gap, and that's where where we stand. We'll see. You know, the Republican Party gained 50 low in the low 50s in terms of seats in the 94 election. So one way to gauge this will be to see if after the dust settles tonight, do the Republicans not only get the 40 seats that they need to take over control of Congress, but do they get even more than they got gained in that historic election of 54? So that'll be one measure people could look for tonight.
Frank, you talked about how dissatisfaction with current issues and just voters tend in the midterms to go against the incumbent party in the White House. But we're hearing a huge debate right now that perhaps even if there is a big wave tonight, this is more of a message to the incumbent party than it is saying we really are excited about putting Republicans back in control. Are you seeing that as well?
Well, that's the conventional wisdom. Part of that's based on favorables, which we see. That is, the Republican Party favorability score is not much higher, if at all, than the Democratic Party. So we clearly don't see that the Republican Party is in this hugely positive esteem, and the Democratic Party isn't. So I think, yes, it's pretty clear that a lot of these highly enthusiastic Republican voters are upset about the Democratic control of government and mainly think there's been too much government. Too many bills passed, the government becoming too intrusive and so forth, and they're trying to do something about that. So that seems to be the message that's being sent here. But what you say is correct, and it points to a problem if the Republicans do gain control of at least one house. All of a sudden, they're in charge, and they're going to have to come up with an agenda. And let's talk again 2 years hence. Maybe it'll be the Republicans that people are angry at that point. It's hard. It's, you know, good news, bad news. The good news is you win. The bad news is now you have to do something.
Yeah, over the last couple cycles, certainly not a lot of patience given the back and forth nature of the electorate. But it'll be very interesting to see what the results are tomorrow. Frank, as always, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Frank Newport, editor-in-chief of the Gallup Organization. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.